In Ephesians 5, states this in very strong language, does it not? And in fact, men, for instance, this is bone of your bone and flesh of your flesh when you look at your wife. And when you hurt her, you're hurting, what's the book of Ephesians say? Yourself. And you may not feel it immediately, but you will feel it. And your spouse is a part of you, men and women, and think that way. Remember that way. God established marriage, and He set it up that way. And, you know, the book of Ephesians says nobody ever hurts his own body. Don't you realize you've been joined together?
Welcome to Downtown Bible Class with Pastor Scott Gilchrist. Today, we continue our series through the book of Genesis. Pastor Scott brings a message titled, God's Purpose and Design for Marriage. We invite you to follow along with us now as we get started.
Turn to Genesis chapter 2, second chapter of Genesis. And we want to take just a second look, really, at a significant passage of Scripture, the first marriage, starting at verse 18. Then the Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the sky and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called a living creature, that was its name. And the man gave names to all the cattle and to all the birds of the sky and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a helper suitable for him. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept. Then he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh at that place. And the Lord God fashioned into a man the rib which he had taken from the man, and brought her to the man. And the man said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. For this cause a man shall leave his father and his mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed. Now, we looked at this last time, and I want to just by way of review remind you of a few things and then amplify more of this text and look at it carefully, because this is a central text to the Scripture. It's the first marriage. God established and instituted marriage, and from here on then you'll find the Bible referring back to this in its teaching regarding marriage. The first thing we saw, verse 18, it is not good for the man to be alone. Until man existed, male and female, it could not be pronounced as good. And we saw this is an expansion, really, of what took place on the sixth day. But God's purpose was to create us male and female to reflect His image and to procreate and create the human race. So until man existed as male and female, it was not good. The main emphasis of verse 18, when he says it is not good for the man to be alone, it seems to me the main emphasis is that it was not God's design, it was not God's purpose for a man to be in solitary existence. That wasn't his plan, and so he created a woman. Now, secondarily, I think we can say that for most, it is God's plan to be married. And we often read verse 18, rightfully, I think, at the time of a wedding, and we realize that it isn't the best for a man to be alone. It's good that God gives him a wife. And in most cases, that's the norm for the human race. But that does not at all preclude singlehood. In fact, we need to be careful, particularly we who are married, to not read the Scripture with that lens, I think. Our Lord was not married. The Apostle Paul served the Lord with an undistracted devotion, and he said, I wish there were more, really, who didn't have the distraction of trying to please the Lord and a wife. And he wrote that seventh chapter of Corinthians, and I think we need to remember that there is great opportunity for the single person to devote themselves wholeheartedly to Christ. And I'm sure John and other missionaries could tell us of people on the field who have been greatly used and used in situations they really couldn't be used otherwise had they had family responsibilities. So we don't want to push that too far. Singlehood can be and is good. In fact, can be very good. Yet at the same time, the basic design for the race, of course, was male and female, and he comes quickly to our Lord here, verse 22. The Lord God fashioned into a woman the rib which he had taken from the man and brought her to the man. You have the Lord himself, the Lord God, not only forming the woman, but bringing the woman, and she's not called Eve yet. We're not told of her name that Adam gave her until the third chapter after the fall. Now, whether it happened after the fall or not, we're not told, but that's when we were told that her name was Eve. But he brings the woman to Adam, and you can see the picture of a father presenting a man with his daughter almost. You can see the imagery in modern weddings. But God took the initiative, and I would say that will keep us from going too far the other way. And the church has made the mistake, and segments of the church have made the mistake of saying that celibacy is a higher state than the married state. And you can't read Genesis 2 that way either. In fact, you can't read the Bible that way. And large segments of Christendom have, of course, gone down that trail also. But God brought the woman to the man, and God joined them together. And in fact, I commented as we closed last time that in this first marriage, and in every legitimate marriage since then, God joins together. And Jesus stated just that when he said, "What God has joined together, let no man separate." And I'm always struck at the time of marriage, at a time of wedding, when we stand before God and man, and we listen as witnesses, and a man and his bride commit themselves and make a solemn vow before God and man, and God joins those two together in marriage. And that's what took place there. And now we want to pick it up at verse 23. The man said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh." He was excited as he looked at Eve. He said, "At last, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh." He had a companion, a helper suitable for himself. He'd watched the animals go by in pairs, and there was no helper found suitable for him. And there was joy in Adam's voice, and there's been joy at weddings ever since. And he says, "This is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh." Now, we don't fully understand the mystery of marriage and the two becoming one, but I'll tell you, the New Testament in Ephesians 5 states this in very strong language, does it not? And in fact, men, for instance, "This is bone of your bone and flesh of your flesh," when you look at your wife, and when you hurt her, you're hurting, what does the book of Ephesians say? Yourself. And you may not feel it immediately, but you will feel it. And your spouse is a part of you, men and women, and think that way. Remember that way. God established marriage, and he set it up that way. And, you know, the book of Ephesians says nobody ever hurts his own body. Don't you realize you've been joined together? And so I encourage young couples to look at marriage as a lifelong project. And men, seek to help your wife blossom and bloom, and do not think that you're doing yourself or her any favor when you hurt her or in any way abuse her. Verse 24 then is foundational. "For this cause a man shall leave his father and his mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." I mentioned that the New Testament on four different occasions quotes this text in giving further teaching regarding marriage. And before I look more closely at this, let me just point out five biblical reasons or purposes of marriage. The first one is right here, and I think it's good to kind of lay this out in all of Scripture, and then I want us to take a look at verse 24 and let it kind of sink in tonight. But let me give you five purposes of marriage throughout the Scripture. The first one's in chapter 1, verse 26 through 28. God created man, verse 27, in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply. First purpose of marriage, and I don't set these in priority of order. I just simply say it seems to me the very first thing we can say is for the propagation of the race. Secondly, verse 18 of chapter 2, it is not good for the man to be alone. Marriage was given to eliminate solitude and loneliness. And the establishment of the marriage relationship and the family connections that God brought with that eliminates solitude and loneliness. Thirdly, marriage is given as a relationship of holy enjoyment, pure pleasure. Let the marriage bed be held in honor among all and be undefiled, the book of Hebrews says. It's God-given, it's God-desired, and the sexual relationship between a man and his wife is something that God designed and ordered, and the joy and exhilaration and pleasure and fulfillment that God designed. We should remember it is God's purpose, it's God-given, and it is from God. Fourthly, and maybe the flip side of that and looking ahead, because most of the Bible is written after sin enters the picture. This, of course, this text we're in now, still prior to sin. But the book of Corinthians says, and I would see that we would be remiss to not point out that marriage is given now as a deterrent to immorality. 1 Corinthians 7 says this, because of immoralities, let each man have his own wife, and let each woman have her own husband. So it is given as a deterrent to the abuse of the sexual relationship. And then the fifth thing I would say, and the thing that the Bible underlines for us in the New Testament, is that marriage is a picture of Christ and the church. And Christ, the bridegroom, his church, the bride, awaiting him, and the great relationship of Christ and those who love him, and his great love for us and manifest in his great sacrifice for us, is to be pictured in marriage. And I think one reason so many are so far from understanding the gospel today in our culture is that we have moved so far from this ideal within our marriages. And I would say many people are hardened to God because of the distortion of the picture throughout our culture. I'll also say this, though. It seems to me that though we lament what has taken place in our culture, sin indulged in and the turning from God's purpose that we see throughout our community and throughout every community and throughout our culture in general, as we've turned away from God, it hasn't worked. And it has left people carved out on the inside and hurting. And families are so rare, families that picture what they ought to picture, and the family relationships that provide the stability and strength of life are increasingly far and few between. And I see great opportunity. And as I mentioned even this morning, as I was talking about my limited perspective of having ministered for 25 years, I feel like there's perhaps more opportunity right now than there ever has been in that 25 years. Individuals are open to coming to Christ. And in the wreckage of a culture that has turned its back on God, God is snatching people out, to use Jude's language. And I think it's all the more reason why we who are married should seek to honor our marriages and let them reflect Christ in the church and be a source of reaching out with the gospel, because people are interested in how Christ makes a home whole and happy, and the marriage relationship that pictures the church and Christ will be winsome to people. Now, having said that, immediately in Genesis, you see God's purpose for marriage attacked. As soon as sin enters the picture, we're going to look at, next time, Lord willing, we'll be into chapter 3 and look at the fall of and the sin and the wreckage that it brings. And you see this all the way through Genesis. And the perversion of marriage and the perversion of sex and the sexual relationship, and of course these go together, the failures in marriage today. Ultimately, it's a result of the fall, and he is working, I believe, Satan, overtime to try to destroy marriage and to try to pervert our ideas and our practices and our attitudes regarding the sexual relationship. You think of pornography, fornication, adultery, homosexuality, sex crimes, abuse, predators, rapists that our culture is just crawling with. Though we should be horrified and we should be in shock, yet we can also know that ever since sin entered the picture, these things have been part of the wreckage that came. And let me just, in fact, and if you've been reading Genesis, why, you'll track with me, and if not, I'll just give you the references. But in Genesis alone, you have polygamy, a perversion of God's purpose, enter the picture in chapter 4. You have sexual corruption on wide scale, large scale, prior to the flood in chapter 6. Right after the flood, as Noah and his sons start over, you have evil sexual thoughts, words, and deeds mentioned in chapter 9. You have adultery in chapter 16. You have homosexuality and the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah and the perversion that that represented in chapter 19. You have fornication and really rape detailed in chapter 34 of Genesis in the case of Dinah. And then you remember the incest that Judah and Tamar were involved in chapter 38. And by that time, in fact, you had it so established that Judah assumed he was dealing with a temple prostitute. And so you have prostitution way back then. And so established that it was, he just assumed he had a temple prostitute. And so the false religions coupled with the perversion of God's ideal for sex linked way back in Genesis 38. And of course, the evil seduction that Joseph escaped in chapter 39, Potiphar's wife. But you see all this in Genesis, and I might add, he escaped it by fleeing it. And I, even in just walking through Genesis and saying that much, let me just take the opportunity to say this. Flee immorality. Every other sin that a man commits is outside the body, but the immoral man sins against his own body. Don't you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, whom you have from God? This is God's word on the issue. And I speak to this many people, flee immorality. Don't get close to it. Don't allow barriers to be broken and compromise to happen to where you think you can get over close to the edge. So many today are falling over the cliff of wreckage because they have not fled immorality. We are no match for it. This great gift of God, the sexual relationship that is so beautiful and so fulfilling within the bonds of marriage, is being perverted on a large scale basis, and we are to flee it. And that's the advice of Scripture. So let me encourage you. I'm quoting, if you're not familiar with that passage, 1 Corinthians 6, verses 18 through 20. And by the way, I spoke at length in one session on this at our men's retreat, in the idea of acting like men and standing firm. And one of the things I stated, and somebody told me months later how helpful that had been, and I know that this is so helpful and it's such a wise piece of advice. Let me encourage all of us, but I speak particularly to you men. One of the benefits of reading the Book of Wisdom regularly, and you can read the Book of Proverbs each month by reading a chapter per day. One of the great benefits is that you will read chapters 5, 6, and 7 every 30 days. And right there at the outset of the Book of Wisdom, chapter 5, 6, and 7 are the strongest statements I'm aware of as to the danger of sexual immorality and the wreckage that comes into life through that avenue. And it's a great deterrent to our compromising, and it's a great encouragement to the matter of fleeing. So young people, you might make a habit of that. And if you don't read the whole book of Proverbs, read chapters 5, 6, and 7 on a regular basis. Don't let that get dusty. We've got all kinds of self-help books and think tools in the Christian world today, and I think many of them aren't nearly as effective. In fact, none of them are as effective as getting into the Word, but many of them just compete for time in our lives from getting into the Word of God. And one of the healthiest things you can do is on a regular basis let God's Word warn you regarding the destruction of our lives that comes when we take God's good gift and twist it and pervert it, which our culture, of course, is constantly doing. Now, look at verse 24 with me, and let me comment on it briefly. And I would encourage you, in fact, to take this verse. This is the one that Jesus quoted. This is the one that Paul quoted. This is the one that he taught marriage from when he came to the sexual sins. This is the verse that he quoted in 1 Corinthians 16. And the New Testament comes back to it time and again, so it would be good for you and me to take some time with it. And it's a verse that can be easily meditated on. You who are married, take verse 24 sometime individually and just think about this simple description of marriage. For this cause, a man shall leave his father and his mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Simple 3 points. Leave, cleave, one flesh. Jesus quotes it. Paul quotes it. The Holy Spirit gives us the description here of marriage. Not all that he has to say, but there is much here for us. Leave, cleave, one flesh. Leave. For this cause a man shall leave his father and his mother. Many marriages are in trouble today because people have failed to leave parental involvement in their lives. There's been a willingness to leave the parents too much influence in the home, and there's not been a healthy leaving that is the first step in a healthy marriage. I would say, parents, beware. Grandparents, even, beware of helping too much and ending up meddling and not enabling and not allowing the marriage to get its own footing, having left father and mother.
You've been listening to Downtown Bible Class with Pastor Scott Gilchrist. Please stay with us. Pastor Scott will return in just a moment with a preview of our next broadcast. Today's program was titled, God's Purpose and Design for Marriage, a message from our series through the book of Genesis. If you missed a portion of the message heard on the program today, or you'd like to share it with a friend, head on over to downtownbible.org. A free copy of today's entire message is available there for you to stream or download at your convenience. During this COVID-19 outbreak, we're doing many things differently than before. Nearly all of us, it seems, have switched over to online resources, whether that be simply more time listening to the radio or worshiping online through live streams. We're thankful that you've chosen to listen to us on this station and invite you to downtownbible.org to download or listen to any past program or to subscribe to our daily podcast. We want to remind you that during this time, the Wednesday gathering at the Portland Art Museum is still on hold. We'll keep you informed as to when the closure is lifted. Secondly, if you don't have a church home in the area, Pastor Scott would love to invite you to join us for our live online Sunday worship service at Southwest Bible Church. That's each Sunday morning at 10 a.m. You can find us live on YouTube by searching SW Bible Live, or go to swbible.org and click on Live Stream. We also simultaneously broadcast the service live on the radio on True Talk 800 AM. Finally, this ongoing crisis has caused a shortfall in finances for this ministry. Would you prayerfully consider supporting us financially? It's only through the generous gifts of our listeners that we're able to remain broadcasting on this station. Now, before we end our time today, let's go to Pastor Scott for a preview of our next broadcast.
And I, even in just walking through Genesis and saying that much, let me just take the opportunity to say this. Flee immorality. Every other sin that a man commits is outside the body, but the immoral man sins against his own body. Don't you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit whom you have from God? This is God's word on the issue. And I speak to this many people, flee immorality. Don't get close to it. Don't allow barriers to be broken and compromise to happen to where you think you can get over close to the edge. So many today are falling over the cliff of wreckage.
Join us again next time as we continue our series through the book of Genesis. Pastor Scott continues the message titled, God's Purpose and Design for Marriage. Until then, may the grace of the Lord Jesus be with you.